broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December the 14th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. Absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. A quick recap of Saturday's broadcast. As you know, we are on the air live 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. On the Sabbath, we rest. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. It's a sad day. Mr. Kurt Crosby decides to leave Liberty Roundtable Live. Sam soldiers on. Our prayers are with Kurt. We welcome him back if and whenever he's ready. In the meantime, the Supreme Court denies the lawsuit by Texas and 18-plus other states. They wanted to nullify the results from four states. The Supreme Court said simply Texas did not have standing. Wow. I guess Amy Barrett joined the majority and simply said no standing for Texas. The question that I would have for the Supreme Court is if Texas doesn't have standing, if different state courts don't have or state issues don't have standing, who does have standing? And it seems to me whenever they don't want to deal with a complicated, quote, political case, they simply claim no standing. I would ask the court, who does have standing? Anybody? Any of us? What if I sued? Do I, the American people, have standing? Oh, no, I'm not in the one of the states that are so-called fraudulent or affected, right? Who has standing? Texas GOP Chairman Alan West suggests secession after SCOTUS rejected the lawsuit. So now we got states talking openly about secession. Battle lines, sadly, are being drawn as 44 U.S. states pick sides in the election, quote, Supreme Court showdown. Is Rush Limbaugh right? He says America's headed for secession. Are we doomed to a political, cultural, and geographic split in America? Attorney General Bill Barr knew months ago, by the way, about the investigations into Hunter Biden's business dealings, but he kept the information from the people while Trump called for investigations. Why aren't we arresting people, folks? I just don't get it. Virginia Democrat whacked out Northam tells folks, you should stay out of church. You don't need to go to church to have God hear your prayers, he says. Well, he's right. Heavenly Father can hear our prayers wherever we are. He's right about that. But he's wrong when he thinks government can violate the First Amendment and prohibit the free exercise of religion. That's where he needs to be thrown in jail for his abuse of the law. More tech firms are leaving Silicon Valley. Yeah, they're starting to head to Utah and Texas and other places. Why? Because there's too many abusive draconian laws. There's too much regulation in liberal, whacked-out states like California. That's why. Just ask Disney if you don't believe me, huh? The Great Reset is not just a great conspiracy. It's happening before our very eyes. Operation Jubilee on fast track in America. We also talked about work-from-home threatens commercial real estate evaluations. Oh, boy, that's going to be an economic jubilee. I'll tell you that right now. Social credit scores, sad or live and well in America today. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour two, we talked about Donald Trump doubles down, takes credit, promotes experimental vaccines. Shame on the president. Trump on vaccines goes from skeptic to cheerleader. What a sad day that is. Vaccines are here, folks, and so is the threat to your health. WorldAffairsBrief.com, Joel Skousen with that piece. Scientists who studied the DNA of nearly 3,000 coronavirus patients have come back now and said there's five genes. That if you have those five specific, you know, gene markers, then you're more likely to have coronavirus be severe. That's interesting. I guess they're now talking about, can ivermectin treat the coronavirus? The answer is yes. But how come they're not talking about it? Because there's not big money in it. That's why. We also talked about a poll found that 85% of small business will need federal funds to stay afloat during the coronavirus. Yeah, they want to just gear you up all to be on the dole, don't they? Disney Plus, believe it or not, had 87 million subscribers. Yeah, a significant percentage of Disney Plus subscribers, about a third of them, believe it or not, are from India. We also talked about their updated growth forecast for Disney. Disney Plus, they'll reach 230 to 250 million people by 2025. Way, way faster growth than they projected. Time magazine named Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as their, quote, person of the year. Yeah, everybody's slamming on them for that. Trump must nullify the fraudulent elections, people are saying. Others are saying Trump surrenders to the deep state. Do you believe that's all true? I don't know about all that, but we'll dig into a lot of subjects with our co-host riding shotgun today. Dr. Scott Bradley's in the house. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Well, thank you very much. It sounds like you covered a plethora of subjects, and since Kurt's not here to say it, I'll say other than that, everything's fine, right? I mean, I guess I didn't hear a lot of good news in there for anything. It's just amazing, the implosion that seems to be happening, but we can't give up hope. I mean, this ain't done until it's done, and it's never going to be done in my mind, because we've got to continue to seek, well, my theme of my life seems to be to preserve the nation.
Well, I will say this. The best news of it all is that we still have the liberty to report on it, sir.
Well, it is indeed. The big issue becomes, though, how the people, we the people, are truly responsible for where we take this country. We've been blessed with that. I mean, right from the Declaration, it says the consent of the governed is required for everything, and the governed consented to be governed by a constitution when they ratified that thing. And since that time, we've been basically an avalanche of violation of that. And most of the people, it seems like, that are sitting in office at this time, well, and quite frankly, it's at the local, the state, and the national level, as well as the individual people. There seems to be very, very, very little desire to get up and correct all of the things that are going bad. It's just astonishing.
Well,
to me.
There even seems to be less of a desire to even understand it, much less stand up for it. I believe most people don't even understand it. Let's start with the Electoral College, for example. They're going to vote today. But you know what? How does the Electoral College work? Let's dig into that just a little bit here, Dr. Bradley. But before we do, I want to highlight a couple of things about the Electoral College and, you know, how it works, etc. Let me give you an example. There's this guy by the name of Erwin Kamerinsky, and he's dean of the law school at the University of California, Berkeley. He says, I'm very concerned about the Electoral College. We are the only country in the world that thinks of itself as a democracy where the candidate who loses the popular vote could still win and become president. Okay, this is a dean, a guy that's supposed to understand, and he runs around and says, hey, we're a democracy, and I don't understand why in a democracy we don't let the masses rule. And then he says, I think the Electoral College should be abolished and the winner of the popular vote should be president of the United States. This guy grossly misunderstands the incredible checks and balances that the founding fathers died and bled and gave everything for, sir.
Well, I guess it's appropriate that we do a little bit of a step back in history kind of thing, because those that aren't willing to learn from history are going to repeat the problems. The American founding fathers looked at government as a necessary evil. It was absolutely essential, but it had limits and bounds, and there was no authority to go beyond what was appropriate. And so the biggest problem they felt like with government was going to be the natural human tendency. The Constitution was created to resist the human tendency to accrue power until you can abuse power. So power abuse is a natural. I mean, Lord Acton said power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And Daniel Defoe, you know, 80 years or so before the U.S. Constitution said all men would be tyrants if they could. And we absolutely know that that is a tendency of human nature, and that is what the Constitution was designed to prevent, the abuse of power. And so they divided and subdivided power as carefully and clearly as they possibly could. They had great shoulders to stand on, people like Montesquieu and Locke and Blackstone that talked about how to make sure that they did as much as they could to prevent power from being abused. Okay, now what does all this have to do with...
Before you go on, let me explain this critical balance the Founding Fathers worked so hard to achieve. On one hand, you need to give enough power to prevent a vacuum in power where a greater force will take over. So you've got to create something strong enough to prevent a more evil force from taking over. Even though government is a necessary evil, if we put it together properly, the idea from the founders was, hey, if we acknowledge God, if we put together fundamental principles, if we strike this incredible balance between enough power to prevent a greater power from taking over, or creating a vacuum of power where another power could take over by force, let's have it be strong enough to resist that, but not strong enough to concentrate power. But when we get back, Dr. Scott Bradley will start right there. Hopefully that'll set the stage for a discussion, but that's why the Founding Fathers understood the need for government. If they didn't have it, a greater force would take over and you'd have a worse government. In other words, you're going to have somebody in charge. Who will it be and how? Liberty Roundtable Live with Dr. Scott Bradley. FreedomsRisingSun.com.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win. They lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Dr. Scott Bradley, I wanted to kind of highlight that proper balance. They call it the proper role of government for a reason. We want to prevent some greater force from taking over. How do you give the government enough power to accomplish that, but yet make sure the government doesn't get so much power they can continue to concentrate power for their own political advantage and or gain? And that was really the balance the founders worked so hard to achieve. Why don't we start there, sir?
Okay, so actually, this idea of power was central to the whole theme of the Constitution. It is a Republican form of government. It is not a democracy, as the good dean that you quoted earlier would have us believe. And the fact of the matter is that they sought most diligently. If you start with the first Federalist paper and go to the 85th Federalist paper, salted all the way through there is the assurance that what has been created is a republic. The fourth article says it's a republic. In fact, Hamilton wrote both the first and the 85th Federalist paper, and he says, if we haven't proved that it's a republic, you better reject the whole Constitution. This was to be a representative form of government that had limits and bounds and checks and balances, delegated powers, enumerated powers, all those kinds of things, and the Americans have largely forgotten that. But let's go back to this separation of powers thing for a minute. The people were to be represented at the national level, the general government level, by a direct election of their congressman. The states were to be represented by the appropriate way that they selected the senators. The states had a seat at the table. And when it came time to elect the president, well, at least to define how the president was to be elected, the founders said, well, we've got to separate the sources of power. Because if you had a source of power that was overabundantly represented, if you will, that source of power would become ultimately the tyranny. So now you can read about this in Federalist 39, about the way they divided the sources of power. You can read about it in St. George Tucker's book, A View of the Constitution of the United States. But the fact of the matter is that when they went to the president, they said, well, should we elect him directly? No, we've already got people doing that in the House. Should the states elect him? No, we can't do that. The states are already represented in the Senate. Should we have the legislature do it? I mean, they had all sorts of debates, and they took a lot of discussion and votes on how to do this. And then they found kind of an interesting, what they called a compound source. So they decided on what they was to be the a mix of the states and the people, and that when Hamilton wrote about this in the Federalist paper, he says, you know, this is the only thing in the whole Constitution that didn't raise the ire of opponents. It was found by everybody to be acceptable. And so the states and the people were to be in a compound source. That's what they called it. The executive powers derived from a very compound source. So they, in Hamilton's 39th, as well as in the view of the Constitution, the immediate election of the president is to be made by the states and their political character, the vote allotted to them in a compound ratio, which considers them partly as distinct and co-equal societies, partly as unequal members of the same societies. So there was to be a blend which allowed the large states, the small states, and the population, as well as the states, to have their entities. And this electoral college was the thing that was basically celebrated by all as being the right approach to elect a president that was to be a president for the entire United States. It sounds like a complex thing. We can review in the second article how they defined it. We can review in the 12th Amendment how it changed. When they did the 12th Amendment, we can review again the 20th Amendment, how it changed. But the fact of the matter is, it was to prevent an accrual of power either in one office or by sources of power. And in the 51st Federalist paper, we can read what Madison wrote. He said, the great security against a gradual concentration of the several powers in the same department consists in giving to those who administer each department the necessary constitutional means and personal motives to resist encroachments of the others. The provision for defense must in this, as in all cases, be made commensurate with the danger of attack. Ambition must be made to counteract ambition. The interests of the man must be connected with the constitutional rights of place. So every office was to defend their territory, if you will, from encroachment by others. And so we have in Federalist 47, Madison talks about the accumulation of powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary in the same hands, whether one, a few, or many, whether hereditary, self-appointed, or elective, may be justly pronounced the very definition of tyranny. So it was about power. And this electoral college is a magnificent device that gives the broadest spectrum of separation of powers that they can from the electoral process. And these calls to get rid of the electoral college would basically place in the hands of about 15 to 18 states, the entire process of electing the president because of the large population areas. And in fact, mostly it would be in large metro areas, states like, Utah, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota, North Dakota. I mean, you mentioned all the states that are of lesser population would completely lose their seat at the table, which they already have, by the way, largely in the way we've done the mess that we put into effect with the 17th Amendment and the way the senators are elected. But this was by design. This Electoral College was well-conceived, well-thought-out, and they basically reviewed what history had shown. You know, you read the 10th Federalist paper about how Madison so eloquently talked against democracy. And what Americans are losing now is this great separation of power. They're losing.
And this is where I would speak out against the professor and say that's the exact reason we have the Electoral College. That's the exact reason we have states versus federal. That's the exact reason that we have all these checks and balances, vertical and horizontal, is because we are clearly not a democracy. The Founding Fathers called it a grand old experiment because they had created a unique system that had never been tried before, but putting together all the principles they could find that would create checks and balances. They didn't seek for power. They seeked to pull it down. They seeked to divide power in meaningful, productive ways that each group would have the ability to protect their own positions and their own delegated authority based on the consent of the governed. So the Electoral College was established in Article 2, Section 1 of the U.S. Constitution. And let me explain it very carefully. The Electoral College determines who is the winner of the presidential election. That's why when Joe Biden has been claiming he's the winner, and all the mainstream networks and everybody else have been complaining or saying that Joe Biden's the winner, the Electoral College, the other side of the vote that makes us a republic, not a democracy, hasn't even voted yet. In fact, that vote is today, Doctor.
Well, indeed it is, and there's an interesting nuance about in Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2, each state shall appoint in the manner as the legislature thereof may direct the number of electors. And that's the equal to the senators and the congressmen that are representing that state. So in the home state of Utah that I live in, it's two senators, which is what every state has, and however many congressmen. There's four. So
right now there's four, but we should, at least if we follow the Constitution, we should have a whole lot more than four, speaking of appropriate representation, by the way.
Well, indeed, that is true. And the 435 congressman that is currently the established number, it's legislatively established. It did not follow the original intent of the American Founding Fathers. Right now, every congressperson represents about, in round numbers, about 650,000 people. And by the way, when they set forth the proposed amendments to go with the Bill of Rights, they sought to exactly specify how many people would be represented by their congressperson. And there were 12 proposed amendments that came out on September 26th, 1789, that were sent to the states. 10 of them were ratified by, well, in fact, it'll be tomorrow will be the anniversary, December 15th, 1791, that there were 10 of those amendments. It did not include two of the amendments. One of the amendments languished for 200 years, then was passed, but the other one that's still out there seeks to bring about an original intent process for how many legislators would be in the Congress, and we would go down to like 50,000 people being represented by Congress. But that's another side vote on this.
But even back in the day, constitutionally speaking, they talked about 35,000, right?
Yeah, well, 30,000. 30,000. I think was the number. But at any rate, the point of the matter being that under our current status of how many congresspersons are associated with each state. California has two senators, as do all, as we said, and they have 53 congresspersons. Okay, so there's 55 electoral votes in California. There's 29 in New York. You could go through the whole list, but in Utah, there's six because of the way we have four congress and two senators. The point of the matter being, though, that group has not met. Oh, but I started to get off on this tangent about the states decide how.
Hold on, we'll get there in a second, ladies and gentlemen. Hang tight. There's 538 delegates to the Electoral College, three from D.C. as well, I might add. We'll get to that in a second. Dr. Bradley with us, freedomsrisingsun.com.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
An armed suspect has been fatally shot by police after opening fire at a Christmas concert outside the Cathedral Church of St. John the Divine in Harlem, New York. NYPD Commissioner Dermot Shea says a man shouted, "Kill me," and fired multiple shots just outside the doors of the church. Three NYPD officers almost immediately engaged the gunman. The identity of the deceased gunman has not been released. No one else was reported to have been hurt. The FBI is investigating a breach into the Treasury and Commerce Departments by a Russian group known as Cozy Bear. The same group hacked the Democrat National Committee in 2015. It's unclear how long hackers have been monitoring internal emails at the department. Spokesman says the United States government is aware of these reports and are taking all necessary steps. The Cleveland Indians baseball team will remove the nickname they've used for 105 years. The Cleveland baseball team is expected to announce plans early this week. The team has not decided on a new moniker. USA Radio News.
Newsmax TV is exploding, and everyone's talking about it. Now, a survey finds that 30 million Americans are watching Newsmax TV all the time. Millions are turning off Fox, and President Trump says he loves Newsmax. So watch it, and make sure you vote in Newsmax's national poll asking about President Trump conceding the election. It takes a minute. Just text the word NORTH to 39747 and vote instantly. President Trump wants to know your opinion, so text NORTH to 39747. 747 and vote instantly in Newsmax's poll. Plus, watch Newsmax TV with great shows including Dick Morris, Rudy Giuliani, Michelle Malkin, Diamond and Silk, Mike Huckabee, Greg Kelly, Sean Spicer, and more. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. Check your guide or tell your cable operator you want Newsmax like everyone else. Watch Newsmax TV today and vote in their big poll on Trump. Text NORTH to 39747 and let your voice be heard.
The new Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine started shipping out Sunday, with the first shots being administered as early as Tuesday. Dr. Jay Bhattacharya from Stanford University tells Fox who should be getting the shots first.
We want to minimize the mortality from this disease. How do we do that? We find the people who are most likely to die if they get infected and then give the vaccine to them. Minimize mortality. Use the vaccine to minimize mortality in the short run and then end the lockdown. Don't let politics get in the way.
Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine goes to the FDA Advisory Committee on Thursday. Sexual harassment allegations have been levied against Democrat New York Governor Andrew Cuomo.
The allegations surfaced in a series of tweets Sunday from Lindsay Boylan, who worked as Cuomo's Deputy Secretary for Economic Development and a special advisor from 2015 to 2018. She said, quote, "Many saw it and watched. This was the way for years." A spokesperson for the governor told the Associated Press there is simply no truth to these claims. From the Oregon USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
We are USA Radio News.
The Electoral College vote is today, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we say, hey, you know what? You can't say Joe Biden is president-elect. Yeah, the people have voted. That's the popular side. But we don't have a democracy, thank heavens. We have a constitutional republic. And the Electoral College votes today. How do we say that we got a president-elect when the Electoral College hasn't voted? I submit to you that it's ignorance by those who oftentimes don't understand the Electoral College and why the checks and balances are put in place, and or outright attempt to obliterate it and turn us into a democracy for power and gain. But understand that your vote does affect what the Electoral College vote does to a great degree. Now, the Electoral College is made up of 538 delegates. All right, two senators from every state, the congressperson from every state, if you will, along with three from District of Columbia. And the total number of electors represent each state. Folks, when we vote for president, we're actually voting for, one, our own popular vote, but two, voting for the electors of our states to go vote for the president. Dr. Bradley, you were talking about the critical role the states play, sir.
Well, indeed. And the Constitution, Article 2, Section 1, says specifically that the state legislators decide how that's to be. And they don't have to turn it over to the people. They don't have to have a popular vote at all. It's the state legislators. And this is a critical thing in the whole, I mean, this rejection by the Supreme Court and everything, this is all cast into question. Let me give you three little brief statements by George Washington in his farewell address that I think are pertinent. We've got to be specific and exact in addressing these things. At one point in his farewell address, he says, "The Constitution, which at any time exists, till changed, by an explicit and authentic act of the whole people, and by the way, that's outlined in Article 5, how you change the Constitution, authentic act of the whole people is sacredly obligatory upon all. The very idea of the power and the right of the people to establish government presupposes the duty of every individual to obey the established government. So they take an oath to do this. Let's stop. Just jump over to another little close-by point. He said, resist with care the spirit of innovation upon its principles, however specious the pretext. One method of assault may be to effect in forms of the Constitution alterations which will impair the energy of the system and thus to undermine what cannot be directly overthrown. So they're saying, don't mess with this. You'll ultimately overthrow it. And then just one other little quick statement, and I know that time is always short. He says, if, in the opinion of the people, the distribution or modification of the constitutional powers be in any particular wrong, emphasize that word because it doesn't mean if we get a different opinion, but if it's wrong, let it be corrected by an amendment in the way which the Constitution designates. But let there be no change by usurpation, for though this one instance may be the instrument of good, it is the customary weapon by which free governments are destroyed. Okay, so what's at stake here is how the Electoral College is being affected by changes made by courts and by executive order in some of these states. The legislature did not make these changes as required by Article 2, Section 1 of the United States Constitution. These changes in these states that are being challenged were made by court order or by executive decree, none of which is authorized in the Constitution.
Or sometimes bipartisan politics, where the Republican or Democratic Party makes rules that obliterate some of this, and they're not even part of the government. I don't know if people understand that, but the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, they're not even government, right?
Correct. There are private institutions that have unfortunately risen to power against the advice and counsel of the founders.
And I bring that up because they have tremendous sway and manipulation, and they shouldn't either. Again, this is where we're breaking down the intelligence of the checks and balances and the brilliance of the consent of the governed that we delegated this authority and this power in an effort to divide power, to prevent power from being used against the people. That was the intent. And these parties obliterate a lot of that power and the appropriate consent and delegation as well, sir.
Absolutely. And as George Washington said, don't do it by guess and by golly if you change these things. This must be done by an authentic act, and that authentic act did not occur. It didn't occur by the legislatures, assuming the way that electors would be chosen, and it did not occur at any time, by the way, any of this was happening. The people have lost their consent has been withdrawn, in effect, by the way the Constitution is being violated. And so as George Washington said, sometimes this might sound like a good idea to make some changes just for, oh, man, it's got to be done. He said, don't do that. That's the instrument that you think is going to be good. It's the customary weapon by which free governments are destroyed. And so they're using the excuse, oh, man, COVID came along, this Nazi germy, which is overthrowing the freedom of our country. It's a little germ that everybody is so terrified. I mean, you know, you got the COVID cowards that are out there and everything. But at any rate, they said, we've got to change the way we select our electors because nobody should have to go in and vote, blah, 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 blah. But that is not the established process. The legislature did not establish it. And so by court decree, by political intrigue, if you will, the palace intrigue, and by executive order, they changed the selection of electors. And so that was the crux of the argument that Texas was bringing forth against the states that had done these things. And they said they corrupted the election and thereby affected not only our state, but by inference, everybody else in the nation. And there's been an abandonment, if you will, of the process that is defined in the Constitution. And the cowards in the Supreme Court. Now, we can review why I think some of them came to this justification in their minds, but they refused to take what was specifically said in Article 3 of the United States Constitution, which says if you have controversies between states, that goes directly to the Supreme Court. And so they and we'll read out of it, Article 3, Section 2, about halfway down in the first clause, it says that they would, well, let's begin with the first sentence of Section 2, the judicial power extend in all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution, blah, 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 to controversies between two or more states. Okay. Now, what's happened is a violation also of Article 4 of the United States Constitution. My opinion, again, and I try to think a lot about these things, but again, you can say you're not the Supreme Court or anything like that. But Article 4, Section 4 says the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them from invasion, etc. Okay.
Now stop. When you have vote fraud and popular vote and you say it takes the cake and we're going to declare a winner before the Electoral College, the check and balance even has the chance to vote, now you're getting that very thing that we're talking about, right?
Well, absolutely. And here's the deal. This republican form of government is clearly defined as a constitutional republic with representatives fulfilling assigned duties according to what the Constitution establishes. You can't, by guess and by golly, decide we're going to do it differently and have it be that form of thing.
And you can't run around and claim we're a democracy and pretend we're a democracy and act like the popular democracy, mob rules scenario. There are laws. For example, okay, most of us don't even know who our electors are unless we've done our research, okay? But I don't know if people understand this. You got to have 270 electoral votes to become president. Well, the state parties appoint electors to cast the ballots on behalf of the people. These are the parties that aren't even government, right?
That is correct. And basically what happens...
So on its face, you really should be able to sue and say these parties are putting electors up. But it should be the state legislative bodies, not based on partisan politics. The parties should have nothing to do with it. For them to do so, they don't have any consent from the governed. That's election fraud. But that's another topic.
Yeah, indeed, it is. We're pulling on so many strings here. We got so many rabbit holes to go down. But the fact of the matter is, there is a way to unsort this. And it's through a law. There's all sorts of, we're all over the field right now. We are throwing mud against the wall and splattering everywhere and everything, and people are going, oh my goodness, this is so confusing, I can't follow this. But there is a process where you can take a string and pull it to the end, take another string and pull it to the end. And it's done in an unpassionate way, and the courts would have been a good place to hear this kind of discussions. Because you've got, on the one hand, the lame brain media that are promoting one thing, and others, like myself, for example, are saying, okay, let's look at this Federalist paper. Let's look at this clause in the Constitution and so on.
Let's go back to the intent of the founders for guidance would be the good doctor's prescription. Now, I want to add before you go on, Dr. Bradley, this really important point, I believe, and that is this. I agree the nation's all over the map on this thing. Everybody's throwing mud in the wall to see where it sticks. But I would simply go back and say, folks, if we understand the checks and balances that our founders gave us, if we apply the principles they put in place with absolute fidelity, that, in my opinion, would stop all the confusion. And it kind of starts with a question like this that a good doctor can get to when we come back and then carry it forward. Why do we even have the Electoral College? Answer, because we're not a democracy. And because we want the rule of law. And because we don't want power concentrated in the few at the expense of the many. We'll talk about it.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999, text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com, defendapatriot.com.
call is being transferred to the listening ear. Listening professionals dedicated to hearing you.
Hello, listening ear. Who am I listening to?
Carrie, but I was calling my mom.
Yes, you were, but your mom was so busy she felt it was important for you to have someone who could completely focus on listening to you and you alone. So she subscribed to our service. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Well, I'm not quite sure.
Where to start? Well, I can listen to school issues like science projects. I can listen to boy problems, although that's an extra $3 per call because of the emotional drain on me. How about we start with how you wish you had made cheerleader?
I didn't try out for cheerleader.
This isn't Mary?
Carrie. I'm Carrie.
Oh, sorry.
There is no substitute for a loving parent. And when you really listen, love is what they'll hear. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Scott Bradley with me to preserve the nation, his collegiate series and book. To preserve the nation. That's what he's been about his whole life. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website. Check out his collegiate series and his incredible weekly webinars, Q&As on the Constitution and more. But the doctor's in the house with the propaganda for the mainstream press and bureaucrats and politicians using the word democracy over and over and over. It's really started to get a lot of really influential people saying, why do we even have the Electoral College anyway? Get rid of that sucker, man. All it's doing is interfering with everything. And in the George Bush case and in the many other cases, it hasn't even brought the right president to power anyway. In fact, the popular vote voted for Donald Trump back in 16. And man, Trump became president because of that stupid Electoral College here against the will of the people. And this propaganda by many that are ignorant, but by some that are intentional, they're destroying the checks and balances here, doctor. So why the Electoral College at all?
Well, again, as we started out, it was a method and a process by which there was a separation of powers and sources of powers, and they're clearly delineated in the Constitution. But it's interesting to me, and perhaps I like to go to the Declaration of Independence and use it as today's news today and read it in the context of what's happening today and the violations that are occurring. And we could talk about the laws of nature and nature's God. The Founding Fathers were big on that. That was God. That was the divine creator. This was not some volcano that you threw people into to, you know, get rid of the anger of a God. This was, and you can go back and look at Montesquieu and Locke and Blackstone, for example, on the origins of these statements. But the fact of the matter is, we look to natural law, and these natural laws, we're looking for the preservation of the rights of the people that God gave us. That's the purpose of government. But so, I mean, again, there's so many things to talk about, but let's just, I mean, if I could, just briefly bring up some things that I believe that are enumerated in the Declaration as under the offenses of the king that are recurring today.
So the point, ladies and gentlemen, is look back to original intent, the situation the founders found themselves in, and then look at it from our lens of modern day and the situation we find ourselves in, but grab on to appropriate principles along the way, right?
Absolutely. And the fact of the matter is they're clearly defined if people would just take the time to learn them. Let's look at what's going on right now and kind of liken this to why the revolution occurred in 1776, actually it started before that, but we can go into that another time. The king has obstructed the administration of justice. If justice is not being done because we have violated the principles, then we're in the same boat here. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution. Absolutely. If we're violating our Constitution, it's foreign to the Constitution. That's happening right now. There have been pretended acts of legislation. That's in number 13 also in the offenses of the king. Whether you're talking about COVID mandates that aren't really legislation or you're talking about changes to the Electoral College process that really were never legislated, it's pretended acts of legislation becoming some executive declared it or a court did. We're having the problem of our in number 21. He's altered, or it's being altered, fundamentally the forms of our government. Our form of our government is fundamentally being altered by the approach that's happening. And corruption, it would appear there's a lot of evidence. I would like to see the strings be pulled on in a very logical, reasonable process that happens in a kind of a linear step-by-step and weave it all together again in the tapestry rather than you know, just what the lame brain media is declaring and so on without having any opportunity to hear the truth based upon a dispassionate approach to things. So all of these are fundamentally altering our forms of government, and the people that are hyperventilating about, oh, we got to hear the will of the people. Well, the will of the people is not how this thing is to be decreed. And there's a defined process, and it's not being followed.
Now, let's be clear. The will of the people is part of the recipe. People sure. have their opinion expressed to the popular vote. Then they have the ability to, through their legislators, vote for those who are legislators. Then they vote for those who are put on the delegates for the Electoral College. You have an influence, folks, but you only have a tempered influence because of the checks and balances. And that's something to understand. And that's kind of why I say that the Republican Party and the Democratic Party putting up the delegates is a problem. Because the Constitution Party or many other parties or independent Americans are left out of the mix that way. The people they tried to vote for who didn't win never got a chance. So it disenfranchises a lot of the will of the people. But understand that your influence was meant to be felt, but not absolutely. There was a tempering intention there that truly articulates what a constitutional republic is. And that's what we're talking about here, Doctor.
Let's talk for just a minute about the electors. They're not to be political hacks. The intention of the American Founding Fathers, but these were well-seasoned, well-reasoned individuals that were to look at the character of the individuals that were up for vote. And the idea was, you know what, this is, we need a president of the whole United States. We don't need a partisan political hack to be in the presidency. We need someone that is going to basically stand for the dignity of the office and the representation, if you will, as the head of state for the whole world. And so they were, these electors were to be chosen as defined by the state legislators as individuals that would choose wise and good and honorable individuals that were honest. But what has, as you've alluded to in your discussion, what happens is, let's just take the state of Utah, for example. If you go to your Utah Republican Convention, they choose, in Utah's case, six electors there that they're going to put up if the Republican gains the majority of the votes in Utah. The Democrats do the same thing. The Constitution Party, the Libertarians, the Greens, everybody does the same thing. They choose six electors, and it's a winner-take-all system. That's the way the legislature has defined it at this time, in deference to the parties, which was never the intent.
Now, there's only two states that delegate theirs more proportionately, though. I can't remember what their names
correct.
Are, but there's two states.
That is correct, but in most states, it's a winner-take-all kind of situation, and it's chosen by these corrupt private entities called political parties that are putting forth an agenda. And this idea...
And let me just add here. This is why I say to you that we can't just have a cow now when we see election fraud. They've been building on this election fraud step by step by step by step for decades. Instead of voting electors as they should, and instead of voting for senators as they should through the state legislative bodies, now they've turned it into a party system hack where these groups that aren't even part of your government, that don't have the consent of the governed via election, via your influence felt, if you will, these parties do whatever they want to do. They're private entities that have no authority. And so this is why I say step by step by step, we've lost control of this process. We can't just come back now and go, oh, by golly, it's horrible. They went off the rails. Well, wait a minute. They've been going off the rails for decades, and we should have stopped it back then. There is a way back, but it's not an emergency panic solution. It is a restoration that takes time and education, Doctor.
Well, indeed it is. And here's the situation. The political, most of your listeners are probably never, well, maybe yours are a little more politically active than many, but most of the people out there have never been to a political convention, like for Republican Party or Democrat Party or whatever. And so they've never watched the process of how the electors are selected within the political parties. They choose these, they have a beauty contest in the political parties as to who's going to be the one that's standing with the party agenda, et cetera, et cetera. They get elected in the party process in a limited convention kind of thing. There's no general election for electors, for example. There isn't, you don't have a line on the ballot in your election that says who would you select as electors. And the electors are supposed to be, they were intended to be by the American founders, people that were well and soundly founded in principle and character and honesty and wisdom and so on and so forth. And they were to select the individual that would best be the president of the United States based upon all the issues that are out there, and not some political hack issue that happens at every level in the political parties now. So we've been corrupting this almost from the very beginning. You look at the 12th Amendment that came out, and it was a result of a partisan effort that had happened in the election that Jefferson was first elected in. And so these things, and by the way, the 12th Amendment really fostered the creation of parties, unfortunately. I don't think that was the intent of those that created the 12th Amendment, but that has been the outcome of, you know, the best intended processes sometimes go wrong.
Yeah, we're too busy, instead of applying the principles that make America great, we're too busy second-guessing them and deciding that we know better. Instead of understanding the intent of the founders, we want to make changes for fixes. We want a new plan, a better mousetrap. And what we need to understand is the principles the founders put in place were absolutely brilliant in their delivery and in their understanding. The checks and balances really did checkmate power seekers, but
well,
it only checkmates power seekers if we don't, if we apply it. If we don't apply it, they're not checkmated anymore, sir.
Well, again, as President Washington said in his farewell, don't be changing these things by guess and by golly. And the fact is they need to be changed by an authentic act. We the people are responsible. And I could give you quote after quote after quote of the founding concepts that were brought forth, and according to the words of the founders, they felt the hand of God, the finger of God, providence was involved in it. They felt this spirit of liberty that was among them, and they put these things together by well-reasoned debate and discussion, and these things have been abandoned based upon ignorance. And again, we've got to go back to this as the original intent. And the American people need to understand it.
Not only debate and discussion, but we need to clearly understand by inspiration as well. Not only did they feel God's hand was in it, but they felt his guidance as they discussed and as they worked through and they came to their compromises or where and when to hold the line. It goes on and on and on, but they talk over and over and over in their journals and quotes about the influence they felt that, you know what, this was beyond my normal abilities. And I mean, they go on in their explanations. We need to not underestimate that reality as well.
Absolutely essential that the hand of God was upon this nation. And again, John Adams said, you know, the Constitution was only for a moral and a religious people. And we could spend probably the next hour talking about our divergence from that path, because we really do, and it was the intent of America. Americans originally, largely, this was a very widely held position, that Americans were a modern-day Israel. And I'm not talking about a state of Israel that's a secular state in the Middle East. I'm talking about Israel as it was defined by God.
In other words,
originally,
God's people, if you will.
Right, and we were a people that were chosen, and we were a covenant people. That was the idea. And again, Mayflower Compact talks about building the covenant with God right from the very beginning of the landing. And God was brought into the formula. We were to be a people that God could bless, and that we had a covenant to obey his commandments and his covenants, and we would be watched over because of that. And we've strayed so far, and like I said,
we'll talk about all the attempts for solutions right now in what they call a crisis. But I'm telling you right now, if we bring God back into that formula, if we realize we're a covenant people and we keep our end of the covenant, if you will, God always keeps his ends, then we're going to be just fine. If we don't, ladies and gentlemen, we've got trouble. And I'm not trying to be negative with that statement. I'm trying to give you a reality check and point to the solutions. Hour one in the can. You are listening to Dr. Scott Bradley, his collegiate series, To Preserve the Nation. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com. Hour one in the can, two coming up. For Sam and Dr. Bradley, we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. God save the Republic of the United States of America.